Hello there, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Connie. I'm a certified nutritionist, personal trainer, busy mom, and I live on a small hobby farm. I'm a former bodybuilder, and I currently have found a love for endurance sports. But I'm not your typical athlete. I believe there are many more contributors to athletic performance and overall health, and that we as a population might be doing it wrong. You won't see me pounding goos or chicken and rice, but you will see me in the pursuit to fuel not only athletic performance, but also balance it with optimal health. This is not just a podcast for athletes. Many people that fall into the health scene get there for a reason. I found myself in suboptimal states at multiple times in my life, and it has really sparked my passion for metabolic and systemic health. I'm constantly a student of what I love, and now I hope to help others by bringing quality guests to the show to share their opinions and resources to hopefully help you formulate strategies to help you crack your health code. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm going to fly solo for a few minutes. I just have had some things on my mind that have been really bothering me. And I'm sure if you're somebody in the industry or even one of these people that is getting into the integrative health movement, you probably are starting to see a lot of the same things that I see. I unfortunately see it on a larger scale because I'm coaching and helping people change their lives daily. So it's really crazy the things that I have been finding lately, and also things that I have struggled with myself. So that being said, as you probably know, or if you don't know, you know now, I have pretty severe Hashimoto's disease, which I don't know where I picked it up at. I know that for a very, very long time, even in high school, I felt like I didn't feel normal. I was an athlete, I would push myself, but I never got in shape and I was always exhausted all the time, even if I got quality sleep. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but when I was a kid, I was raised vegetarian. And all I remember is eating tons and tons of soy burgers and all sorts of things that were full of what I now know to be complete garbage. So anyway, I don't know if not having adequate protein when I was a kid and eating lots of soy and being on a vegetarian diet had anything to do with how my health was later on in life. But I remember as soon as I hit the teenage years, I started gaining weight really fast. I felt sluggish and horrible. And I tried everything to get in shape. And I felt like no matter what I did, I always just felt horrible. So fast forward into my later years in life, we decided to go on a really strict GAPS diet to help my son that was struggling with mental health issues. And it fixed everything for me, even though I had been tested for lupus and the doctor told me I was too stressed. And so that's why my heart would flutter all the time. And so they put me on beta blockers and tons of things. When looking back at it now, I think of how foolish it was. Like, really, beta blockers? They never tried to find the root of the problem. They just threw me on beta blockers. And even now in my quest for health, I have found so many interesting things because regular medical doesn't look at what's causing the problem. They just want to stick a Band-Aid on the bleeding wound and that's it. And that's what they're taught and people don't realize that. Medical school doesn't teach doctors to address the root of the problem. It teaches doctors to treat the problem. It's a practical science with practical aims. So in this way, medicine differs quite drastically from other natural sciences, like for instance, physics. Physics has a body of deep knowledge, and they are always digging to get to the roots of a problem. Physicists have dug so deep that they are grappling with one of the most fundamental questions of all. How did the universe begin? But medicine differs from that because more than it just being a science, it is also a business. And this is why, if you didn't know this, People were taking a heart pill called Lonotin. They started growing unwanted hair on their arms, and the researchers didn't even ask why. Instead, they looked for customers, and Lonotin, the heart pill, became Rogaine. Like, seriously, you guys, and I'm sure you've heard this about Viagra, the same thing. Viagra was made to be a high blood pressure medicine, and then it was found to have a great side effect of prolonging erections, and so it was repackaged as Viagra. So, since medicine is a business, medical research must ultimately generate some kind of saleable product, and that is why we still don't know what leads to common problems. So, you guys, I see this constantly, and even with my Hashimoto's, I recently had a doctor's visit, and I had run my own labs, and my TPO was still elevated. So, granted, my TPO is much lower than it has been in years, but it's still elevated, and I don't want to see it elevated. I'm trying to figure out what the cause of the problem is. I've basically tried everything. I have tried diet. I have reduced my exercise. As you know, I'm a huge nutrition buff. I feel like there's something else out there that is triggering me to have a struggle with my Hashimoto's. And a lot of things, like there are, is like toxic mold, or you can have heavy metal exposure and things like that. And I haven't been able to dig into that just yet. I have been slowly saving my money so that I can start going that direction. But at my most recent provider visit, what was the first thing that they said? They said, Connie, let's put you on some Wellbutrin, I think it is. An antidepressant. Antidepressants are great for people that are struggling with disease. I was like, are you kidding me? Are they even suggesting this right now? They want me to go on an antidepressant because they think that that will help with my Hashimoto's? Like, I am not a depressed person. I'm not even a stressed person anymore. Honestly, my life has been amazing. I made a career change. I sleep 9 hours every day. I get to enjoy time with my family. I feel great mental health wise. I have no struggles with depression. So when it was brought to me that I go on an antidepressant for my Hashimoto's to try to get my thyroid antibodies down, needless to say, I was pretty blown away. And this is not the first story I've heard about this. 9 out of 10 people that I coach are on some kind of antidepressant for reasons other than being depressed. Plus, is being depressed necessarily something that needs to be medicated? This is another thing that I run into. I feel like the minute that you go into the doctor's office, they literally have you filling out a form that says, are you depressed? Have you had suicidal ideations? Have you been down or sad in the last couple of weeks? What we don't realize is it's okay to be sad every once in a while. It is okay to show emotion. We do not have to be emotionally constipated or emotionally stoic. It is okay. But the minute you say you were sad in any way, they're like, well, we saw you were sad though. So how about we put you on this SSRI or this whatever? And we are becoming a society that can't even regulate and make our own hormones because we have so much medical intervention involved. And just another example of this is one of my friends is an Ironman triathlete. And we had this discussion and I was blown away. She had to have a surgery on her arm. And during that surgery, they damaged a nerve very severely, accidentally. And she basically lost the use of her arm. So then they went in and did revisional surgeries. And they were unable to repair the arm. So there's still nerve damage in the arm, which means that she can no longer do her passion, which is run Ironman triathlons. because she has no use of her arm, it makes it difficult for her to bike or swim. Now, I'm like, listen, we ain't quitting this easy. We're going to make you custom bike handlebars, all this stuff. Like, I'm ready to make this happen for her. And so I see this as no limitation. I see this as a challenge for her. But she calls me up and she's like, well, the doctor told me that because I'm so depressed, my arm can't even heal. And so that in order to give it a chance at healing, I need to start taking a couple of these depression medications. And I'm like, what? Depression? Like, seriously? To heal your arm? Come on. So I feel like, unfortunately, our medical system is really, really broken. And I see this every day with labs, like the improper lab testing being done. Like, you guys, we live in an era where there is so much knowledge out there. Start empowering yourself to understand what questions you should be asking at your doctors. If your doctors don't, like, if they say you have a thyroid condition, but they're not physically touching your thyroid and they're not running all the thyroid tests, they don't know what's going on. Also, thyroid is influenced by so many other things. Stress and digestion are some huge ones. And so if you're going into a doctor and they want to give you advice, but they don't ask how your stress is, they don't ask how your sleep is, they don't ask what your diet is, they just want to stick you on a medication, that is a huge red flag. Please be empowered to make sure that they are asking questions and that you are also asking questions, because you can't just rely on the fact that they understand. And a prime example of this is I recently have been working with somebody that is in the medical field, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to move into integrative health. I want to get out of Western medicine. And so we were talking about labs and bouncing things off of each other. And this person told me they're not even allowed to order certain labs because it's outside of their scope of practice. And I don't understand how something can be outside of somebody's scope of practice, because our whole body is connected. We are not just a brain. We are not just a heart. We are not just the lungs or the legs or the toes or the eyeball. We are all one being that works symbiotically together. So if we are missing one little thing, we're going to have a real hard time figuring out the big picture in this person's health. So that completely blew me away that this physician was not allowed to run certain tests because it was outside of his specialty. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so going back to the mental health thing, if you guys don't know, and this is a hard thing to put out there, but if you guys don't know, you've probably heard me bring it up at some points. We changed our diet completely, and I thank God for the day that this happened. We changed our diet completely for my son's mental health. Long story short, it was a life changer for all of us in so many ways. It literally changed his life. We're talking every diagnosis that he had and getting him off every medication was completely reversed by changing just food. So the other thing was, is it changed my life, because all of a sudden, seeing all of these things that impacted our health and seeing what happened to me when I changed it and seeing all, like, starting to dive down that nutrition rabbit hole and how it affects us, and gut health was a huge one for me, really found my passion. So not only health-wise did it help completely improve my life, but also with my career path and the things that I am interested in, and it helped me find my passion. So I'm thankful for that in so many ways. But had I not have figured out how influential gut health and nutrition is, I never would have come down the rabbit hole that I am down, which is like crazy. It's leading into hormones and all of this stuff. But back on the mental health front, they haven't released it yet, but yesterday I was just reading about them finally equating mental health problems with inflammation, which many of us are super inflamed via stress and our diet and our lifestyle. So many people struggling with chronic systemic inflammation that could be addressed via diet, exercise, lifestyle, stress reduction, etc. And so they finally were like, oh, inflammation in the brain is what causes people to struggle with mental health. And it's what makes people not able to control dopamine, serotonin, all of the feel-good chemicals, right? This is what we'll do. We will make a drug that is an anti-inflammatory. And this anti-inflammatory is going to help treat mental health because it will take the inflammation out of the brain. Now, that's not the whole thing, but that's it in a nutshell, in a way that you guys can all understand it. Anyway, the craziest part about that is inflammation is not necessarily a bad thing. Inflammation helps us heal. It helps us recover. It helps fight viruses and diseases and bacteria and all of these things. Like, there is a good piece to inflammation. It's when you get too much that you begin to have a problem. And then you think, we are in the era of the virus. I'm doing air quotes here. And here they want to start giving people a drug that's an anti-inflammatory and an immunosuppressant. Do you see the snowball effect here? And it's not unlike so many other snowball effects in the medical industry. So just thinking about that, I'm putting it out there. The next time you feel like you might be struggling with mental health stuff, I please implore you to do your research. Figure out if you really need to be on this medication. Every single antidepressant and psychiatric medication has a black label warning. Every single one of them. There are none that are safe. And these warnings are huge. These warnings are like, may cause suicidal ideations, may cause this, like, there, it's bad, like death. And people are so willing to just eat them like candy. Make sure you do your research. Also, are the other parts of your life optimized? I'm not saying go off medications or don't do it, but look into the other corners of your life. Please don't take the short way out. Look into the other corners of your life. Are you getting enough sleep? Most of us are completely sleep deprived. We live in a world where it's more is better, and you can sleep when you're dead, and exercise to death, and over diet, and overdo all of these things. And it's just not the case. You have to be taking care of yourself. So is your sleep optimized? Minimum of 8 hours a night. That might seem crazy, right? But it's actually not that hard to do. And if you do not have time to be properly sleeping and be investing that time in letting your body recover and letting your poor brain recover, your brain, the master of all of your body's chemicals, then that's a big problem right there. How many hours are you spending on social media? How many hours are you spending on the TV? I mean, the list goes on and on. Start taking an audit of where you're spending your time and how to optimize your sleep. And it's really super important. And if you struggle with sleep, then get in touch with me. I'm happy to start looking at things that could be causing your sleep patterns to be interrupted, because that's also a big problem. Is people lay down to go to bed, but they can't quiet their mind. They wake up multiple times to go to the bathroom. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle here, but they all have a reason for happening. And you can change those habits and you can change those rhythms in your body. Your whole body works on a rhythm. And so super important to make sure that things are consistent in your life, that you have a rhythm going on, including your sleep, going to bed at the same time every night, waking up at the same time every morning. Don't have some crazy erratic schedule that's all over the place. And I just want you to imagine this. This is how crazy sleep is. When you lack sleep, you actually function like you are drunk. And you may not even know it, but if you were getting ready to have like a life-saving procedure and a surgeon took a shot right in front of you before you were getting ready to go into that surgery And he said, oh, no, it's fine. Science has proven that I can have one shot every 2 hours and I will have blood alcohol level less than 0.5. So you're safe. Would you go in on that surgery with him? Well, if you're not getting sleep, you're in that same position. So make sure your body is functioning optimally with sleep. Also, stress. We live in a rat race. If doctors are wanting to put your children on ADHD medications and all of these things, you've got to look at other lifestyle factors. How's their life stress? Are they getting enough sleep? How's their diet? Especially kids these days, their diets are riddled with sugar. And we don't realize it, but their poor little bodies are totally strung out. They're living with strung out parents, people that are trying to rush, trying to work, trying to make things happen, trying to get their kids to sports. They see that. They see what other people are eating, which is primarily sugar. And honestly, I give you a challenge here. If you think that your child is eating healthy, start logging their food too. See how much sugar is actually in there. See how much protein is actually in there. Are you giving their growing body something that it can use for clean fuel and to help grow all their cells and nourish them? A lot of times not. And when you start logging your kids' foods and you see how much sugar is involved, you might get scared. So I implore you, trust me, kids are not going to starve to death. You don't hear about them starving to death in newspapers. It just doesn't happen. But you have to set a good example for them by eating healthy food. You have to give them the option of eating healthy food and don't have other options in the house. Don't have the Gatorade. Don't have the chips. Don't have the Mountain Dew. Don't have the cupcakes or the Little Debbie snacks or the granola bars. Don't do it. If you do not have it available in the house, especially at summertime, guys, then they're going to start making healthier choices. Those healthy choices can be pretty darn easy. My kids, we have peanut butter, we have celery, we have apples. My daughter loves to make ants on a log, which is celery and peanut butter with some raisins. Yes, there's still a little sugar in there, but it's better than the processed sugar bomb that happens when they're eating a granola bar or some kind of prepackaged snack. At least it's real food. You know, I also have chicken in there that's cubed up. I've got lunch meat, just lunch meat, lettuce. They like that. Put some cream cheese in it. Low on sugar. There are plenty of options out there. I know it's easy to get overwhelmed as a parent, but lead by example. Teach them what's good. Don't be like, oh, that's gross, or don't think it's gross. Literally help them learn from your example. So before throwing any kids on any kinds of medications, because that's crazy. Most kids are struggling from no sleep and an improper diet. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to talk about all that today because I feel like the medical system is so quick to throw medications at things. I literally just had a client that had literally 30 medications she was taking, and I could see where so many of them were ramifications of something that could have been fixed with diet and nutrition. And so it's really sad to me that instead of looking at the root problem, we are so greedy that we need to make money. And so we start selling products to people with any excuse that we can. And it's not that doctors are doing the wrong thing. So many doctors are in the medical field for a reason. They want to help people, and they truly think that they are helping people because that's how they're trained. And so when you're trained a certain way, and that's what you're taught to believe, you know no other way. So I implore you to please, if you are struggling with some kind of health thing or depression or whatever it may be, also maybe look into a integrative health practitioner, a naturopath, somebody that looks at things from a more holistic approach, somebody that's going to look into the root problems, somebody that's going to look at your digestion, your stress, your sleep, your lifestyle, all of these things that play such a huge role in our overall health. Well, friends, I think that's about all I had to say for today. know it was a short and sweet episode. I hope you were okay with my ranting. I know that I can get a little bit on a roll with all of that stuff, but I think that is extremely important that we start to make sure that we are looking at all aspects of our life and that we're making sure that we are being thoroughly treated by our healthcare professions. Anyway, if you want to look into more about me and what I'm about, I have become very huge into hormonal health, gut dysfunction, the big picture. I've gotten so into the big picture, and I've been able to help so many people struggling with major conditions that were easily treated by diet and lifestyle. If you want to jump in and ask me some questions, I would love to hear from you. So reach out to me on my website, www.connienightingale.com. That's where you can send me a message. I would love to hear from you. I also have a bunch of amazing pre-made programs on there that you can do if you're looking to get into shape. There are some great beginner programs. There are also some great fitness programs for more advanced people. So jump on there, take a look. I've got a lot of great stuff. If you found value in this episode, please leave me a review. Those are so important in helping me find quality guests for the show, so important for the support of this podcast, and I really appreciate all of the reviews that you guys give me. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will talk to you next Monday. Wanted to remind you that Connie Nightingale nor the Fit Farming Food Mom podcast is intended to replace your regular medical doctor's advice. So before implementing anything that you heard in any of my episodes, please speak with your primary care physician.